Good morning, church.
It's good to see a good group here, and it's always my privilege and honor to welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ, and particularly welcome our visitors. If you're visiting with us today and live around Nacogdoches and do not have a church home, we'd love to visit with you about joining to the life and fellowship of this church. And please pass the ritual of friendship pads down the pews so we'll have a record of who's here. And particularly if you're visiting with us, and we'd love to contact you, if you'll give us your contact information. Please take time to look at the church calendar so you know what's happening and where to be. Particularly note the church event today at the home of Tony and Patricia Thompson. We're having our annual blood drive hamburger dinner. Even if you cannot donate blood, we want you there for the hamburgers. And if you can, bring a side dish for the hamburgers. I think the mission committee is providing everything needed for the actual hamburgers. If you have not signed up to donate blood, that's not a problem. When you arrive, just simply stop at the blood mobile parked outside their home and find out when a table will be open, and you can just slip out there and you'll be okay. And they will have asked you, what have you eaten lately? And you can say, I just ate the best hamburger in town. So you'll be in good shape. Let's see, I've got more, a lot more. Water is a basic theme of Scripture, right? You got the Spirit of God hovering over the chaotic waters at creation, and you got Noah being saved from the water in the ark, and Jonah being saved by the big fish when he fell overboard into the water. It is also through waters of baptism that we recognize God's claim upon our lives. But as the floodwaters recede from Houston, and at this very moment, Hurricane Irma is causing havoc and destruction in Florida, and it's already caused so much problems with the folks living out in the Caribbean islands, I hope that we'll spend time in prayer and be able to do what we can to show the love of God for those who are affected. There are several ways to help, immediate ways. One is to make contributions to the American Red Cross or the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance Program. And could I have the ushers for just a second? This is hot off the press. I just ran it off this morning, but I thought you would like to have it. It's supposed to have gone in the bulletin, but I was too late. But it's just information on what we can do and how we can help hurricane victims. So I'm going to give these to y'all and pass these out in the choir. And
there you go.
Years ago, after Hurricane Katrina, a group from our church went to Gulfport, Mississippi, and worked on homes and hung sheetrock. After Hurricane Rita hit, several from our church went down to Port Arthur, and once again, we worked on the homes of victims from the hurricane. It will be probably a few more weeks, it may be months, and Presbyterian Disaster Assistance will have their villages put up with those little blue pods. Those who went before, remember, they're basically cardboard housing for you to live in. If you would like to go on a mission trip to help people recover. However, if you're interested in something more immediate, I've been in conversation with the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Orange, Texas, and they have a gymnasium, and I know they have at least one shower in there, and he promises it actually has hot water if you want it. But if there's anyone who would like to go ahead and organize a more immediate trip down to Orange, Texas to start serving the people there, if you would, contact me, email me, get a piece of paper that may be in front of you and put your name on it, and let me know when is a good time or when is a bad time to organize such a trip, and maybe we can go ahead and start doing some work. Our children and youth, Jennifer and Johnny may not know this yet, but we will get out some information to you soon, because the church suggests that the larger church suggests that one way we can help is by providing cleanup kits, first aid kits, and hygiene kits. And so you'll be getting an email this week about what you can do to produce such a kit, and I'm kind of seeing our youth and children may be working together to get these together, and I'll help, and then if I need to, I'll take them down to Orange with me or to the Presbytery office, but just supplies that people need to take care of themselves and to start cleaning out their homes. This is a special day for us. I forgot exactly when the conversation began, but I do know that it was the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, which today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. But last year it fell on August the 28th, we had a breakfast over in Westminster Hall. Do you remember that breakfast and the topic of the breakfast? The breakfast was to talk about calling an associate pastor and what we would need in such a person and whether or not we wanted to do it. Well, hopefully soon we will call such an associate, and Jennifer is here ready. She has preached before, so when I say it's her first sermon in Westminster, it's not her first sermon, but it's her first sermon at Westminster. So you got that. But her East Texas debut. So we are excited to hear Jennifer in a little bit. And I think most of you may have heard that she had her, what might be the equivalent of her oral exams by the presbytery this week, and she passed them with flying colors. Yes, congratulations. To change the subject just a little bit, and I have to apologize, I left a piece of paper in my office. If you have, hope I get forgiveness, if you have tutored at Regay Elementary School, would you please stand? Come on, I know you're out there. And there's a few more. Nancy gave me a list of all eight or nine folks, and somehow that ended up in my office. I was running around kind of scatterbrained this morning, but we do give you thanks. But we have James Allen with us today, who is one of the vice principal at Regay Elementary School, and we've asked him to come share with us a little bit about the program and what we can do to continue involvement in helping the kids there. James.
Instructional coach.
Okay. Thank you all for having us here this morning. With the tutoring at Regay, and it is great. You saw everybody stood up, and I know that the kids love it. What it is we have a volunteer form that we have in the front as you're exiting. It's a volunteer form. You fill it out. We get a copy of your driver's license. We turn it in. And in a week or two, you're allowed to come onto our campus. And if you choose to tutor, there are several things that I'll get into here. We have students who just need extra help in reading, in math, and just coming in, pulling them out and reading a book in the hallway, or just talking with them. Also just coming in during lunch. If tutoring's not quite your thing, you really don't want to get involved in the education aspect, just coming to maybe play during recess, or come in during lunchtime and have lunch. Just come in, we have tables outside to come and eat lunch and just find out about their life, and they can find out about your life. And it's just our community of Nacogdoches coming in and helping our school community of Regay to be with our kids and talk with our kids, because some of their life experiences are not so great, and to reach out and to help them the best that we can, because ultimately we want them to be successful doctors, lawyers, everything that they can be to be successful. And so we have our volunteer forms. Like I said, there'll be at the front. I came in from that way. Do you exit out that way? Is that the back? That way. They're out that way. And so please, and if you have any questions or any concerns, please come to Regay. Again, my name is James Allen. I'm the assistant principal. I would love just to show you the school, walk around, meet some of the kids. I give a lot of hugs. I tie a lot of shoes, and we love our kids. And I'm sure I'm forgetting something to say because I'm a little nervous. But just to come and be with our kids, and even to our PTA is wonderful, and to come in during our PTA luncheons and talk with our teachers and see what Regay can do as part of reaching out. And so thank you so much for your time. I'm going to shift over to Ms. Lindsay Turner and let her talk about.
Yes, sir. College students also do this?
Yes, yes, college students also. Please, college students, anybody that wants to come, you're more than welcome.
One out. So I'm just letting them know.
Come on.
So one of the biggest things we ask is just time. Like James said, a lot of our students just need to have that time where they get to talk to adults or college students, showing that they can achieve their goals. One of our things we say to our kids after in the morning every day is, after high school comes college. We want to instill that they have those goals to reach, and we know the biggest thing we can give them is just your time. We do lots of things on our campus, and one of the things that I'm very passionate about is getting our community involved in our school. Getting you to come inside and look and see what we're doing. And also, we do a fundraiser, and it's called a Regay Color Run. We have trying to get as many businesses and community members to come in. I know y'all have been asked before where someone knocks on your door saying, hey, would you like to buy some chocolate or wrapping paper? We have those too. We have a cookie fundraiser in the spring, but in the fall, we like to try and get our families together. And in our color room, we go to Pecan Park on October 14th, and it's a whole family event. Instead of selling something, we're asking for your time to come spend a little quality time with our school and your family. It's open to the public, and we go around Pecan Park, and we run. We get squirted with color. It's food, dye, and water, so it doesn't permanently get you, but we have a lot of fun. The kids have a lot of fun. It's one of our biggest fundraisers, and what's so successful about it is because we have other people outside the community come in. The kids love it. We use that money that we get from that fundraiser to purchase books. One of my big things is a lot of children do not have books in their class, in their homes. We can send home books. We want them to be excited about reading, so we know that reading gets them to achieve a lot of their goals in life. So three or four times a year, we purchase a book for every child in the school. And if think about it, if they start in kindergarten three times a year, going all the way up to fifth grade, we've stocked a library in their home, a real good quality books in their home for them. So that's one of my big passions, to make sure they have plenty of stuff to read. It also helps fund our curriculum nights where parents come. We can have the most educated people and they're like, I don't know how to help my child. I have a preschooler and I was talking to their teacher, I'm like, hey, how do I help my child? It's a different ball game, but we want to give them tools and stuff. So last year we did a curriculum night where the older children got dice, and we showed them 100 different ways to use dice to play in the home that'll help their math fluency. We can use dice games for even doing reading games also. So again, this fundraiser is a real passion to my heart, so we'd love for y'all to come and sign up for that. We've also put some forms out here to sign up. If you're a business or you know someone that like to sponsor a child, maybe you don't want to participate, we also have another form saying, yes, I'd like to sponsor, and we'll hook you up with a child that maybe they can't afford to participate in the color run. So.
Now, all these forms are right here in this library.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Right there on that front table.
Well, Lindsay and James, thank you very much for coming
thank
and
you,
for all you do.
Appreciate
for
your time.
Doing
thank
your
you.
Part to care for our children.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Are there other announcements? Well, let us take a moment to prepare our hearts for the worship of Almighty God.
Jesus said, "Wherever two or three people are gathered together in my name, there I am in the middle of them." In the name of Jesus, we are gathered here.
Rejoice in the Spirit who inspires us.
To worship the God who utterly loves us.
And to celebrate the Lord who still lives among us.
Let us worship God.
Please join me in the prayer of adoration. Almighty God, we lift up our voices with all of creation to praise you. We praise you for the majesty of the earth with its mountains, hills, plains, and vast oceans. We praise you for the diversity of life that inhabits and grows all around us. We praise you for the celestial sky filled with stars and planets, all created to praise you. And in the midst of this marvelous creation, we humbly bow to honor you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, so grand that you fill all there is, and yet so close we can call you Savior. Accept our praise and allow us to be changed by your word as we worship this Lord's Day in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans 5:8, we read, "But God shows his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." As long as we are bound to this earth, we will never comprehend the amazing love and grace of God who in Christ died for the sins of the world. However, we do understand that for our own benefit, we must be willing to confess our sin. And therefore, I invite you to join me in a time of confession, beginning with the prayer found in the bulletin. Loving and merciful God, with the dawn comes awareness that we are to serve you in all that we do. Yet we turn our backs on you when we are called to act. While we may not murder, we do not hesitate to harm. It is so easy to covet when others have what we want. We fail to love neighbors as Christ taught us to do. We hear how a new day awaits us, to put on the armor of light. We confess our unworthiness to wear your mantle of love. Paul reminds us how it is now the moment to wake up from sleep. The night is far gone, the day is near. Friends, this is the good news.
Please be seated. And let us honor God as we give to him his tithe and our offerings. Lord God, if we owned the whole earth and everything in it and offered it to you, it would still not be enough for the great love we have received and known and the salvation we know in Jesus Christ. But Lord, we offer what we have, and we pray you'll accept our lives and you'll accept these funds, that you will bless them, use us, use our resources for your purpose. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. O Lord, our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today's Psalter comes from Psalm 149, and the congregation's response is to the tune of hymn number 33. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with chains of iron, to execute on them the judgment decreed. This is glory for all his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them.
Thank you that I have good drinking water. Thank you that I have a hot water heater in the house. We take a hot shower still. Thank you that I have plenty of food. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The second one prayed like this. Lord, thank you for taking care of me while so many people were affected by the hurricane. But Lord, help me know what I can do to help them. Lord, thank you for giving me good drinking water. But help me know what I can do, or how can I provide good drinking water for people whose houses have been flooded and they can't drink the water? Lord, thank you so much for taking care of my house. But I know some people's houses were flooded. Lord, what can I do to go down and help people clean out their homes? What can I do, Lord? Help me to do the right thing. Amen, Jesus. Now, those are the three prayers. Will you listen to them? Which prayer do you think pleased God the most?
The second prayer, because, oh, please help me.
Because, yes, Lord, thank you. But when I show my gratitude, is how I serve you. Jesus once said this, love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no person in this than to lay down the life for a friend. I'm grateful for you. What was this place with me? I'm going to have this place with you. A caring bracelet. Thank you. They made me a caring bracelet this morning, and I am wearing it proudly. And I hope that all of us, in the name of Jesus, can care for others as Jesus cares for us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for taking care of us, indeed, and saved. But we do pray for those who are not saved, whose houses are flooded, and whose houses are being flooded at this moment, the hurricane of Florida. And help us know what we can do to respond. Money and our lives into your service to care for those who are in need that we might show the love of Jesus. For we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you so much.
every Monday morning since 2012, I've gotten an email from Gardner Webb University. Gardner Webb is a fairly large university set in the midst of farmland in a little town in North Carolina called Boiling Springs, or Boiling Springs if you're from there. This university, in its peaceful, idyllic setting, has an undergraduate program, a graduate school, a school of business, a school of nursing, and a school of divinity, which is where I happen to go to seminary. So, as one of their alumni, I get an email every Monday morning from the campus ministry department. The subject heading in the email is appropriately labeled Monday Mornings. Below it is a picture of a coffee cup with steam coming out of it, and the steam rises into the shape of a cross. Below the coffee cup is a scripture passage and then a devotional message based on that scripture. I always enjoy getting this email in my inbox because I love Gardner Webb and I really, really love cups of coffee, and I love getting a devotional reminder to start my week off right. But you know, it wasn't until this week that I started to realize what that graphic with the coffee cup and the cross might be all about. This Monday, the scripture passage was from Romans chapter 13, and it goes like this. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. What followed this scripture was a story about Hurricane Harvey and a Houston businessman named Jim McInvale. You might know him. And he's also known as Mattress Mac. As the floodwaters began to pour through Houston, Jim opened his two furniture stores as temporary shelters for evacuees from the storm. And Jim posted a Facebook video with this simple message. He just said, "Come on over." He even gave out his personal phone number, and Jim tweeted this message too. On Twitter, Jim said, "Our stores are open for those in need. If you can safely join us, we invite you for shelter and food. God bless." So 400 people took Jim up on his offer. And it seems like this wasn't the first time that Jim has reached out to provide shelter for those in need. He opened the doors of his stores during flooding last year and when Hurricane Katrina hit 12 years ago. I guess we could say that Mattress Mac has a history of loving and caring for people in their time of need. I was so moved by reading about Mattress Mac in that Monday morning email, and the scripture reading was so important and timely in the aftermath of the storm we've just been through that I thought, I've got to share this story with my new friends at Westminster when I preach on Sunday. But then I thought, I wonder what the scripture readings are in the lectionary for this coming Sunday. Now, I never feel bound by the lectionary, but when I do preach, I do like to use the lectionary. And if you're not familiar with it, it's that collection of scripture readings that we share with other Christian churches around the world, like the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, the Roman Catholics, some Baptists, and so on. The readings go through the whole scope of the Bible with readings from the Old Testament and the New Testament every Sunday for 3 years so that we can get this full picture of what God's written word is telling us and what it's really all about. As I checked the lectionary schedule then for this Sunday, I found out that, to my amazement, the New Testament reading was from Romans 13, the very reading that was in the Monday morning email from Gardner Webb. So I felt like it was meant to be. So here we go, Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. Paul wrote his letter to the Romans at a time and to a people not all that different from our own. He was writing at a time of turmoil in the world. There was apparently some turmoil in the church too. He was writing to people who were steeped in their faith tradition and to people who were new to the life of faith. And he was writing to help these people understand what it means to be the church, to live as God's people. Just a few verses earlier, Paul reminds his audience to be good citizens. Follow the laws of your government, he says. Pay your taxes. But in verse 8, he starts to talk about a different kind of law. The law brought by Moses from God to the Jewish people. A law that had shaped their lives as a people for centuries and centuries. Many people in Paul's audience had grown up as Jews, and they knew God's commandments by heart. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and so on. But then Paul reminds them of something similar to what Jesus taught during his ministry. In Mark chapter 12, when a scribe asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." The next greatest commandment is this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Paul says this too. After listing off all of the well-known commandments, he says that, you know, really, they are all summed up like this: love your neighbor as yourself. He continues, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." So, all that we need to do as Christians then would be to act nice and be kind to everyone everywhere we go, and we'll be right with God. Right? Kind of. Or not exactly, or I guess not actually, not at all. After getting ready for my ordination exams with the presbytery, I'm finding that a right standing with God has very little to do with me or you, and everything to do with the one who is the embodiment of love and the fulfillment of all the law himself, Jesus Christ. Last Tuesday, I sat in my new office down the hall, and I was examined by a committee from the presbytery who would decide if I could be allowed into the Presbytery of New Covenant here and keep moving toward ordained ministry here in East Texas. Because presbytery headquarters are in Houston, we did my exam by a computer program called Zoom. I'd never heard of it before. But with Zoom, I could be here at church in Nacogdoches and simultaneously see and talk with this committee of teaching elders and ruling elders at various locations throughout the region. My laptop computer screen looked a bit like the opening credits to the Brady Bunch television show, with these little squares with people's faces in them, and we were all looking around at each other and talking to each other, and they were looking at me too. And in this format, the committee members asked me all sorts of questions about the Bible and theology and Presbyterian church polity. Some of the theology questions had to do with a paper I had written about faith and works. Faith and works, or maybe it's better said, faith versus works. It's that question that many of us encounter as Christians when we try to figure out if doing good works is what saves us and puts us in a right relationship with God, or if it's faith alone, a rock-solid belief in God, that saves us. After looking at the writings of several theologians in our Reformed tradition, I realized that maybe we're asking the wrong question when we wonder which one, faith or works, is the right way to go. So yes, as Presbyterians and Christians in the Reformed tradition, we believe that we are saved by faith alone. And yes, it is also true that good works should be fruits or a visible sign or some sort of outgrowth of our faith. But in the end, either one could start to have more to do with me than with God. Can I muster up enough faith to really rely on faith alone? But what about when my faith wavers? And can I do enough good things to earn and prove my right standing with God? But then I found this theology book by someone named Shirley Guthrie. Guthrie explained that Christian faith is not confidence in faith that saves, but confidence in the God who saves. He describes this faith as a kind of personal relationship, a total commitment of ourselves to the living God whose trustworthiness has been proved by God's powerful and loving action for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. So how do we make this total commitment to God? Well, even the ability to do that is a gift from God, and it is a gift based in God's love. So when Paul urges us to love as a fulfillment of the law, I think that he's pointing us back to Jesus, the one who is love and who is the one who fulfills the law. Jesus is the one we call the living Word of God, with a capital W in Word. When we look at Jesus, we can see God and how God wants us to live and be in this world. So anytime we show love to someone else, we are empowered by God's Spirit, and we are following the way of our Lord Jesus. It's a very active way to do faith. We could even say it's a little bit like that popular phrase, love is a verb. Over the past several days, as Houston and the surrounding areas have started recovering from Harvey, I have seen love as a verb, not just in that great story about Mattress Mac, but with my own eyes. I've seen love as a verb, or perhaps more accurately, I've seen love on wheels, which is why there's a truck on the front of your bulletin. Love on wheels. When the streets and highways around Nacogdoches were still flooded with murky water, I saw trucks plowing through with water spraying up on either side as they made their way to Houston. And I knew that they were going to help. There were trucks from the ASPCA to help stranded animals. And there were trucks going from the ServPro company to help with damaged homes and businesses. There were these lines of trucks pulling boats to rescue people stuck in the floodwaters. There were personal pickup trucks and company trucks and 18-wheelers, all making their way south to help, to show love. It was literally love on wheels. And love was in action in town, too. Last week, Steve and I went over to the local ministry of Love, Inc. We found out that they are the hub for Hurricane Harvey relief efforts in Nacogdoches, and they were already starting to get requests for aid. Steve asked the director of Love, Inc. the most important, the simplest, and the most straightforward question he could. He asked, what can we, as Westminster, as a church, what can we do to help? So after pondering for a moment and looking around at the current stock of supplies, the director said, diapers. Diapers and wipes. Diapers in all sizes, even the pull-up kind. We've already gotten so many requests for diapers. And so began the great diaper stockpiling effort of 2017. With the church credit card in hand, I made my way to the Nacogdoches Walmart, and I headed back to the baby section of the store. Now, with a four-month-old of my own, I knew exactly where the giant value boxes of diapers would be. I was a little surprised to find that I might not have been the first person with this mission to get diapers in every size. An entire section of a certain brand had already been bought out, several shelves, and I just stared at these empty shelves. But then I reminded myself that this was probably a good thing. Somebody, somewhere, was getting the diapers they needed. So I then went over to the next set of shelves and started finding other diaper brands and got a value box in each size. After a few minutes, I had some company on the diaper aisle. Three young women, I guess maybe college age, they showed up laughing and talking and saying jokingly, I could never have a baby because they're so expensive. Look at these prices. Look at how much a box of diaper costs. So then we struck up a conversation because they had some questions about sizing, and being the highly experienced mom that I am, not really, I was able to share everything I knew about diapers. As we talked some more, it turned out that the girls were getting diapers for a mission project. And I was able to say, me too. And after a while, there was so much talking and laughing and joy as we went about our various missions in the diaper aisle at Walmart, that I really did feel like the Spirit was alive and at work there with diapers. Even more relief efforts have been taking place around town, too. Last weekend, Zach and Georgia and I were out and about exploring downtown Nacogdoches, and we went into a restaurant. As we sat down, I could see out the window, and people were bringing in more huge boxes of diapers. So maybe that's where the ones at Walmart went. And these giant cases of food and water. They were making enormous piles of these necessities on one side of the restaurant. And again, there was so much joy and so much love as people gave of themselves to help those in need. And I recently heard from one of my good friends and mentors, Reverend Woody Berry, the retired senior pastor of my old church in Lexington, Kentucky. Woody is originally a Texan himself, and he told me of his older brother, who is a successful lawyer in the Houston area. Woody's brother put his regular operations on hold to help numbers and numbers of people process their FEMA paperwork. And so many other countless efforts to show love and support are ongoing in local churches, in our presbytery, through Stephen F. Austin University, through the Red Cross, through organizations all across the country. Even at the new Panda Express restaurant down the street, the person at the drive-thru asks if we'd like to round up our total to donate to Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. The answer is always yes. We say yes because we follow the example of Jesus, who shows us the way of God, and that way is to love. And we are empowered to love because God reaches out to us and fills us up with love and helps us to share that love with others. And love is magnified as we join together, much like Jesus describes in our Matthew 18 reading from earlier, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them. Love is there. The other part of our lectionary reading from Romans is Paul's urging to us to wake up. In verses 11 through 12, Paul says, "Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake up from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us be awake to all the ways God is calling us to live as children of the light, as people who live in love. Because you know that there is another storm on the way, this time on the East Coast, one that has already devastated the Caribbean and is just beginning its destructive sweep of Florida. How then, as God's people, will we respond? And how will we respond too when we see other storms in people's lives? Storms that might come in the form of physical or mental illness, financial difficulties, emotional pain, or discrimination based on who they are or the color of their skin. As God's beloved and redeemed people, we respond with the command to love. We follow the leading of our Lord Jesus Christ. We respond together, and we are given the strength and the wisdom to respond with love through the Holy Spirit. And we are always, always awake and vigilant as we live out this love. It's a bit like that graphic on the Monday morning's email from Gardner Webb, the coffee cup with the steam that forms a cross. I'm starting to feel that this is a picture of Romans 13, 8 through 14. It's how coming from something as normal and mundane as a cup of coffee, we can see Christ emerge and intersect with the world. It's God's love arising in the midst of our everyday lives, as well as in the most dark and tragic places. It's knowing that in the current disaster relief efforts and in all of our daily interactions with our brothers and sisters, when we live in love, Christ is there. I'm really looking forward to going on this journey with you at Westminster as we travel together with Christ and with each other. And as we go out from this sanctuary today on this journey together, may we be alert to all the ways God is calling us to follow the one who loves us more than we could ever imagine, who is himself love in action, and who leads us to share that love with others. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life and for the gift of this day. We thank you for all the ways that you break into our world and show your love for us. We thank you for how you're with us in our darkest moments. Sometimes those moments are storms like illnesses. We pray for those in our congregation who are suffering with illness and disease, or who have family members who are suffering. We pray for the wisdom of their medical teams and for comfort, healing, and peace. Sometimes the storms are actual storms, dangerous and destructive weather, and we pray especially for the safety of those in the path of Hurricane Irma, both now and in the time of recovery ahead. We also pray for those still recovering from Hurricane Harvey and all those who seek to help in the relief efforts. We also pray for our teachers and students in this new school year for wisdom and growth. We pray for our local community that this will be a place where everyone may feel safe and welcome, and may we at Westminster be leaders in showing love to Nacogdoches and to the rest of the world. Lord, we pray too as we remember the events of September 11th tomorrow. We remember those who lost their lives. We pray for the brave first responders, for families and friends directly affected by this tragedy, for our nation and for the whole world, so that your kingdom may come on earth and that this world may be a place of peace. And now let us lift up the names of those we know who may have special concerns, and the response of the church will be, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear our prayers. 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 Fill us up now with your love and strengthen us with your Holy Spirit as we go out into the world today. And now let us pray boldly the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us stand and confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
friends, let us go out as we follow the one who is love, Jesus Christ. And now may we go forth in the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.